Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about motherhood and profanity. This is the title of one of the essays in my book, Love Has a Price Tag, and it may sound rather curious. What do I mean by motherhood and profanity? Well, I'm not talking about swearing. I'm talking about treating something which is loaded with spiritual meaning as though it meant nothing at all. And I think that one of the reasons that we are in trouble on the whole business of masculinity and femininity and sexuality and our attitude toward motherhood and fatherhood is that we have failed to see through the visible realities to the spiritual reality of what it means. And so we have been treating even that high and holy calling of motherhood profanely, as though it's something that is imposed upon us, something which is a very heavy burden to bear, and it's to be gotten over with or through as quickly as possible. I really do believe that modern society has been profaning this holy calling, devaluing it, denigrating it, even despising it. Valerie has told me that she gets some very strange looks from people when she tells them that she has 6 children. The response is almost invariably a gasp, and 6 children? I hear the same thing. People come up to me and say, "How is your daughter now? Where is she? What is she doing?" Well, I say she's a very busy mother. She has 6 children. 6 children? It just seems absolutely unbelievable. My niece, who has only 3, said that when she went looking for an apartment, she was made to feel un-American because she had 3 children. There is a certain contempt for women who do nothing except mother, housework. Well, let's look at these women who do nothing. "Okay, now, which one of you clowns put that bag of M&Ms in the grocery cart?" The mother looks harried. 2 boys, maybe 5 and 7, eye each other and race away toward the gumball machine near the supermarket door. There's an infant strapped to a plastic board on top of the groceries and a 2-year-old occupying the built-in child seat in the cart. The mother picks up the M&M candy bag and starts toward the aisle to return it, while the 2-year-old screams, and she relents, throws the bag in with the rest of her purchases, patiently waits her turn at the checkout, fishes $5 or $10 bills from her purse, gets her small change, pushes the cart with the babies in it, herds the 2 boys through the rain to the station wagon in the parking lot, loads the bags into the car. I go with that mother in my mind's eye. Jump out in the rain, open the garage door, drive in, close the door, babies, boys, bags, into the house. In how many trips? Phone rings, answer phone, change baby, wipe muddy tracks from kitchen floor. Feed baby, put groceries away, hide the M&Ms, start peeling vegetables, take clothes out of the dryer, stop the fight between the 2 older children. Feed the 2-year-old, answer the phone again, fold the clothes, change the baby, get the boys to, number 1, hang up their coats, number 2, stop teasing the 2-year-old, and number 3, set the table. Light the oven, put the baby to bed, stop the fight, mop up the 2-year-old, put the chicken in the oven, answer the phone, put away the clothes, finish peeling the vegetables, and look peaceful and radiant. Your husband will be home soon. Does it sound familiar to anybody? Am I ringing any bells out there? Well, I see all this. My heart goes out to her. I also can imagine her dreams. Someday she'll write a novel, the great American novel. An agent will call. There will be reviews, TV appearances, autograph parties, travel, movie contract, preposterous dreams. Maybe a little bit more realistic, the dream of an office job, tailored clothes, makeup that stays made up all day, hairdo that stays done all day, work you can see, and work that doesn't have to be done over, work that stops at 5 o'clock. Have you ever dreamed any of those dreams? Most of you, I suppose, that are listening to me today are not the mothers of young children. I don't know how the mothers of young children would have time to listen to me at all. But you have some dreams, too, that have not been fulfilled in the work you've been doing. Where do you find fulfillment? Jan and I were talking about this as we drove to the studio this morning in the car. She had just read two articles in a magazine, one by a father and one by a mother, each very successful. I don't think they were a married couple. They were unconnected. But each of them, having made it big in the big time world, I think it was acting or something, were now the parents of a child. And each of them testified that this meant more than everything else put together. I certainly hope that most of you out there would agree with that. What can even come close in being filled with significance and meaning to the roles of father or mother? Of course it's a drag at times. Of course you get tired. We're being told today that roles are changing. You can have it all. But the people that have tried to have it all, when they're honest, admit you can't have it all. Something has to suffer. We're none of us superwomen. As Golda Meir said when she was the mother of four children and the premier of Israel, when you're in the office, all you can think about is what you didn't get done at home. And when you're at home, all you can think about is what you didn't get done in the office. I'm told that school books, school textbooks, have to be cleaned up of anything that would smack of sexism. For example, in the first grade reader, the woman is not standing at the sink or pushing a baby carriage. She's driving a hook and ladder. There are to be no hair ribbons on little girls. And if you talk about nurses, there must be a male nurse in the picture. We've got to abolish the stereotypes, we're told. Well, I'm not saying that there haven't been some stereotypes which have been damaging. Stereotypes are forms of a very static character that are not necessarily representative. What I'm talking about is archetypes, forms of a deeply emotional character that are related in a mysterious way to the structure of the universe. Motherhood. Who is the archetype of motherhood? Eve was supposed to be, wasn't she? She's the mother of the human race. But what was Eve's response? Have it my way, my will be done. And the mother through whose obedience redemption came into the world, that young woman named Mary, what was her response? Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it happen as you say. Thy will be done. In other words, not my will be done. We've all been confused by a lot of claptrap and rubbish which has been poured out upon us in the name of enlightenment and liberation and progress. Deep down in our bones, some of us have sensed that this is nonsense. It's profanity. When we talk about masculinity and femininity, or fatherhood and motherhood, we are talking about something that God, in His sovereign mercy and will, hallowed from the beginning of time. We're talking about a holy assignment, a gift which we cannot choose, but which only God can give. the highest, the holiest calling or vocation, and yet at the same time, paradoxically, the humblest service for God, that which takes us right down to the very dregs, as it were, of humanness. Things like diapers, bibs, babies spitting up, having to get up in the middle of the night, walking the floor, babies crying, children getting into all sorts of trouble, making all sorts of messes, breaking up our sleep, disturbing our meals and our quiet and our peace. Is it creative? Can we think of motherhood in a creative way? We'll stop and think for a minute. Is there anything that even comes close to being cooperation with God, such as motherhood and fatherhood? Because there we are bringing another human being into the world by God's gift and, of course, by God's design. And yet we give ourselves to cooperate with him, to be co-workers together with him. I hope that thinking about motherhood in that way will transfigure your vision from the profane one that sees it as meaningless to glorious sacrifice. Sacrifice which leads to joy, to resurrection. Remember that the route to glory for Jesus and for us is death. If on our daily course our mind be set to hallow all we find, new treasures still of countless price God will provide for sacrifice.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.